It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Welcome in, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's Hans and Scotty. Scotty is out for the day. So it is Hans and Lloyd Cole today. Until noon, and then it's going to be Hans and Coach Lacombe. Coach Lacombe's kind enough to come in and sit with us, and we're going to have a blast today with Coach Lacombe. We'll be going over all things Utah Jazz. We've got Craig Bowlerjack, who's going to be joining us. We got John Wilner, who's going to be joining us at 1 o'clock. John Wilner, you're going to want to tune in for this one. The Hammer. I've got, right out of the gates, I've got a long take. I went back and listened to the press conference of the new Pac-12 commissioner twice, so that I could try to learn and listen about what he's all about to try to build a better opinion on him, because I did knee-jerk. I think a lot of people probably knee-jerked. I definitely had a knee-jerk reaction because he's not a quote-unquote football guy. And that means a lot of things. No, that doesn't mean that he knows how to run a 3-4 or how to set in an I formation or how to deliver off his third route. That's not what I'm talking about. But a football operations guy, a guy that's built and restored and maintained football programs and conferences and has a real deep understanding of the game of football and its importance and how to build it. He's not that guy. So because he's not that guy, my knee-jerk reaction was it was pretty violent. I've gone back and I've put together some opinions on him. And we're going to play a sound segment. In fact, right out of the gates here in the starter, we're going to play a sound segment and we're going to get into a lot of these thoughts. But I have got probably three or four cuts that gives me some level of optimism on the new Pac-12 commissioner. We're going to play through a few cuts, and they're all just kind of quick clips except for when he goes through his resume. But I do feel it's important to kind of give you his resume because I think everybody out there needs to kind of develop their own opinion on the new Pac-12 commissioner. And his resume is going to help you build some of that opinion. But you are going to notice something. When he's going through the resume, he never says the word football. And that's a little bit disheartening. He does say WNBA. He says that. Major League Baseball. Yep, he says that. Obviously, on the TV and the digital streaming on all those ends, he definitely says that. But he does not say football. And that makes me worry a little bit.
You know what? When you're talking about his resume, I don't know why, but I think about the self-proclaimed genius. Self-made resume.
Oh,
guy.
Dude.
That now.
Do you have that?
Of course, I have that.
Oh, dude. When is the last time we played that in full? When's the last time?
Oh, it's been a minute.
And where did you get this? This goes back to, Lloyd. This might be like 2008 or 2009.
2008 or 2009. Yes.
When you and I started things up at the old 1280.
Been back when we were doing That's So Money.
Oh my gosh. I know. So what was the? This was just a guy that
self-proclaimed genius, and yeah, it was a voicemail resume guy. Is what we called him.
Oh.
So when you're talking about this, like this guy's listing off his resume, and I'm thinking, man, you could have spiced it up. Like the resume could have been so much better.
Are we gonna play the resume? Are we gonna play the voicemail resume after the Pac-12 commissioner's resume or before?
Whatever you want to do. You want to do it first? Or do you want to wait?
We need
Do you want to save it for what you may have missed, and we could replay his resume again Actually, hold on. How long is it? God, his resume is like 5 minutes long.
Yeah, did you see how long that cut is?
No, I'm not going to replay that.
No, it's brutal. It's really long. It's really long. In fact,
I'll let
I was
you decide whatever you want to do.
I was sitting
there. I'm not going to replay that.
I was sitting there this morning trying to put this soundbite segment together with the commissioner's comments, and I was debating whether or not to play his 25-minute resume. But I can't help people build their own opinion more than allowing them to hear what his resume is. Right? I mean, like, I've got to start with the resume.
Right.
It is 4 minutes of really boring. Blah, 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 blah.
Don't call it 4 minutes. It's 5 minutes.
It's 5 minutes of
it's
him
four
saying.
4 minutes and 57 seconds. So let's just call it 5 minutes.
Okay, can I tell you what his resume sounded like to me? This is what his resume sounded like to me. I've not worked in football. That's it.
All you needed to say is I have not worked with college. I rowed. I did row.
I was a rower. I'm rowing. But his resume could have been like, I have never worked in college football. I have never been a conference assistant or commissioner.
I'm sailing! Marvin, Dr. Marvin, guess what? Ahoy! I sail! I'm a sailor! I sail!
Our guy knows how to sail.
He knows
how to row.
You know who actually is? We have a guest that actually is a frequent sailor, actually. We have a regular guest that sails quite frequently.
That sails?
He's a sailor. Yeah. Well, he's not a sailor, but
he's on a sailboat?
He sails, yes. Not a salesman.
You'll have to tell me who it is. Is it a local guy? Is it Thurl Bailey?
No. Oh, no. Okay. Thurl's a biker. Thurl's actually on a bike ride when we had him on.
So Thurl's a biker. Dave.
And I can only imagine. I mean, we remember what our guy Sean Bradley's bike was like. So.
Oh, yeah.
Thurl Bailey's probably very similar.
It looks like a circus bike.
Yeah.
David Locke is he's a skier, right? He skis.
He's a skier, and he's a biker as well. He's big into mountain biking.
Bowler is a yard worker.
Yeah, he's a mower.
He's
he
just a man. Yeah. He's what I call the back porch man.
Yeah, he's grizzly.
Has a couple drinks,
Bowler probably just got done having some eggs over easy with some bacon.
Scotty's a landscaper. You're a gardener.
No.
You're a gardener.
My gardening days are over.
What am I? A washed-up athlete?
No, you're what do they call somebody that deals with trees?
Oh, a hortatist, I believe.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. I just know the name horticulture, and I thought maybe it's a hortatist.
Wait, isn't Arbor Day? Is that that's for trees, right?
It might be, yeah. It might
Arbor Day's for trees, so you're an arborist?
I could be an arborist. I'm not a tree guy, Lloyd.
You are a tree guy.
You and I would identify more as golfers than maybe a gardener and a tree guy.
No, I don't golf anymore. Actually, I'm selling my clubs.
That's not just something that you say on air all nonchalant.
Yeah, no, I'm actually sailing. I'm sailing my clubs.
You're sailing your clubs. My clubs are sailing. What happened with you and your clubs?
I just haven't golfed. You know, I think I golfed one round of 18 last year.
You don't.
Didn't golf.
You don't sell your clubs. You keep your clubs, and then
eventually you just dust them off and you bring them out.
I'm gonna just give you and look. I know you've got two kids and they're aging and you're progressing through parenting.
And this year's Jackie Blue Eyes is not going to be coming this year yet. He's not ready. But Xavier and I usually on Father's Day, we'll go out and play around.
Okay, but I'm just going to give you just a touch of advice, just a small touch of advice. Keep those clubs because you need to get out. You need to be out, and you need to be anywhere but home. That's important. So keep them. Okay, buddy? Don't sell them.
I don't know. You know, we
got
to get out. We got to get out and play with our guy Tim, right?
Tim.
Lacombe.
Oh, yeah.
We need to get out and play with him.
Oh, yeah. Let's go play Lacombe.
Plus, he's connected.
Yeah, it'd be a blast.
He's like, he's essentially, I think, a member of all the clubs.
Oh, it'd be a
blast. He can get us in, really, any club.
Just remember, there was 2 years ago? I lost a game to, uh, I lost a match to somebody that you know, and I almost threw my clubs away. Remember?
Yeah,
it was,
I remember.
It was a really.
And that's
bad
not
loss.
Why I'm getting rid of my clubs. I'm just getting rid of them because I'm just not playing.
No, we'll get you out there, Lloyd. Don't get rid of them. We got a great show put together for you. As I mentioned earlier, John Wilner is going to join us at 1 o'clock. Craig Bowlerjack is going to join us at noon, as well as Tim Lacombe, the former BYU assistant coach, current Jazz pre-half and post voice, is going to join us at noon.
So are we playing the self-proclaimed genius guy before or
after?
Do you want to play it?
I like what you missed.
Yes, okay.
I like your what.
Let's do that.
Let's play it. We'll take a condensed version.
We won't let something like that take up our whole
of George Kliakov. We'll take a condensed version and we'll play it against our famous.
Okay, we can do that.
Resume.
Let's do that. Let's compare resumes. Who would you hire?
Who would you hire?
Yeah.
Which of these two men would you hire for the Pac-12 commissioner? Ooh, I like that. I like that, Lloyd, because neither one of them said the word football in their resume.
One's more interesting than the other, though.
Well,
not sure which one. But.
I'll tell you this. One has a resume that would probably blow your arm off. The other one does not.
True. This is true.
Yeah. So we'll get into that. But let's get into this, the starting lineup.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup. Starting lineup. Presented by University of Utah Health.
Gotta love!
On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
So yesterday it was announced George Kliakov, the new Pac-12 commissioner. And obviously everybody's got their opinions and I definitely needed time to back up, swallow a couple of my opinions and a couple of my initial thoughts and learn a little bit about this guy. I think all of us needed to do that because nobody knew this guy. He is not famous in the world of college commissioning. He is not famous in the world of college sports. He has not had any experience in the SEC or the Big Ten, the two conferences that I would have liked to have seen him maybe have a little bit of experience with. He doesn't have any experience with even the ACC or the Big 12. He doesn't have a level of experience with the Big Sky. This guy is brand new to the world of college football commission. And that makes me a little bit nervous. But in order to kind of help everybody out there really understand who is the new Pac-12 commissioner, I thought Lloyd and I might just let you hear from him himself. We're going to start with George Kliakov and him giving his own resume.
First, from my days as a collegiate rower at Boston University, I've always loved everything about intercollegiate athletics. I credit much of my success in business and in life to lessons I learned as a rower in college, including the value of putting in the hard work, time management, accountability, and of course, teamwork. Second, I believe I have deep subject matter expertise in many areas that are immediate opportunities. I have a background in structuring complex media distribution deals, including an understanding of the ongoing transition from consumption of linear television models to digital. I have built and run large-scale live events, sponsorship, licensing, and ticket sales operations. And I have an understanding of lobbying and other efforts necessary to address some of the biggest opportunities and issues facing college athletics today, including name, image, and likeness, expansion of the CFP, and sports betting. Third, I've been fortunate to lead teams that have driven growth in both revenue and profits in every job I have held. Just quickly, here are a few highlights from my career. My first job in sports was as one of the senior executives in the early days of establishing Major League Baseball Advanced Media. At MLBAM, I managed corporate and business development and baseball's media subscription and licensing business across all digital platforms. After MLB, I became NBC Universal's first chief digital officer, setting NBC's corporate digital media strategy and developing new business models and markets. At NBC, we completed the then largest digital media event of all time with the 2008 Beijing Summer Olympics by delivering 10 million hours of video to 52 million unique visitors in just 16 days. Also while at NBC, I partnered with our competitor, News Corp, to form a digital media distribution joint venture that became Hulu, which turned into a top five US video site within 6 months. I spent 7 years at Hearst Corporation, where I was responsible for overseeing Hearst's 50% stake in the A&E, Lifetime, and History cable networks, and a 20% stake in ESPN during a time when ESPN was negotiating very complex sports licensing deals and establishing both the SEC and ACC networks. In my current role at MGM Resorts International, I oversee one of the largest live events companies in the world and also look after MGM's sponsorship spend, sponsorship sales, and sports betting ventures. At MGM, I also had the privilege to oversee the Las Vegas Aces and to sit on the WNBA's board of governors. I'm a big proponent of women's sports. As all of you know, at MGM, we partnered with the Pac-12 Conference for both men's and women's basketball championships. And in a deal in partnership with the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority and the Las Vegas Raiders to bring the football championships to Allegiant Stadium for the next 2 years. Throughout my tenure at MGM, I had the pleasure to work closely with the Pac-12 Conference staff to leverage opportunities and address challenges. The latter has been especially true in the 14 months since I was in the room at T-Mobile Arena when the decision was made to cancel the rest of the 2020 men's basketball tournament due to the COVID pandemic. Since that day, I've watched my new colleagues at the conference office work tirelessly and with an unmatched passion to protect athletes while still driving the conference business. I'm honored by my new opportunity to work even more closely with these amazing colleagues. Finally, and maybe most importantly for my role as Pac-12 commissioner, my leadership style is relationship driven. I've built long-standing relationships with nearly everyone I have worked with or negotiated against across a 25 plus year career in sports, media, technology, and entertainment. Once I start in July, my intention is to go on a listening tour. This starts with developing a deep partnership with the athletic directors and coaches. The success of the conference and my personal success in this role is tied to the success of the ADs and coaches. Of course, I will meet with the presidents and chancellors, other academic leaders, and the student athletes. My intention is to listen and to learn how the conference can help strike the balance between continued academic excellence, student athlete well-being, and an even higher level of athletic achievement.
There you go. It really is a deep, very detailed resume. And obviously he had that resume written out, and I thought he delivered it well. It was a little bit scripted. Obviously, I would like to hear a little bit more flow, maybe a little bit more character, maybe get a feel for his sense of humor and who he is. Doesn't sound like he's got a ton of sense of humor.
Well, that was the feeling I got.
Sounds
with
like
the
he's
whole,
very business.
The whole press conference felt very scripted.
Very scripted.
Entire thing.
Very,
that's fine.
Very business. Which I think maybe right out of the gate. Remember, you only get one first impression. You only get one shot. And nobody's heard of this guy. Nobody's seen this guy. Nobody knows this guy. I think I'd rather hit the media circuit right out of the gates with my first opportunity to impress or to give my to kind of tell people who I am. I'd much rather have it be just professional and almost scripted than off the cuff. Because if I say something stupid, if my sense of humor does not come over the radio well or over TV well, like, there are things that you just need to be more careful with. Now, as scripted as it was, Lloyd, there was actually a few comments in there in the scripted and it felt scripted answers, even though the answers may have been a little bit more organic. In the sound segment that we'll play in this next segment, you're going to hear a couple of things that it's like, all right, there's a reason why Larry Scott never said that. There's a reason why he never said it. This guy did say it. Is he going to be able to get away with it? And is he going to hold himself to it? We'll answer those things next.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
from The Athletic. He's our friend Sam Amick.
The Jazz are trying to hang on to that top spot in the West. They've lost two in a row now. Some alarms are going off, but they're doing it without Donovan Mitchell, without Mike Conley. We're trying to read into this what it really means.
I don't love it for them. A lot of it's outside of their control. It's been a long time now without Donovan and Conley. That's a problem from a rhythm standpoint. You kind of lost that intimidation factor that I do think was there earlier, where they were doing laps around the bus of the league, and now they seem a little more gettable. But there's a lot of that going around. I mean, it's going to be a pretty interesting postseason from that standpoint.
Catch The Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7, presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust, on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Welcome back, Hans and Scotty. Scotty out of the office today. Lloyd Cole hanging out with me. Tim McComb will join us at noon. Jam-packed show today, so don't miss a second of it. Before we jump back into the sound segment, I brought in a couple of burritos for Lloyd. There's a burrito place that's just down the road here from us, and they do bean and cheese. It's just a bean and cheese burrito. Really good refried beans.
Just simple burrito.
Simple burrito.
Very simple.
Really good refried beans, and they put a good amount of shredded cheddar cheese on it. And it's a nice, fresh, homemade shell. It's really tasty. So I brought us a couple of burritos today, and I tried to give Lloyd a couple.
Oh, don't do this to yourself.
No, I won't do it. I'm not doing this to anybody or anything. I'm actually a little bit shocked by your reaction. So as I'm handing the burritos over to Lloyd, there are three toppings that were available for these burritos. There was a red sauce, a red salsa, and a green sauce, like a chili verde salsa. And then I always get ketchup. I always get packets of ketchup because I like to put ketchup on my burritos. Now, whether it's a bean and cheese or a California burrito or even the machaca, which is like a shredded meat and an onion mixture, I like to put ketchup on my burritos. I might have to delete this poll already.
Yeah, it's not going to go your way.
Never mind. Let's get into our
No, bring it up. Come on. So you asked me if I like some salsa or some ketchup. And I said to you, this is not a suntan that I have on my skin.
For those of you that don't know, Lloyd Cole's heritage is Portuguese.
Yes.
And he has...
A hint of Spanish.
With a hint,
and,
of, hint of Spanish.
And if you try to give me ketchup for my burrito, I will kick you somewhere you don't want to be kicked.
Okay, but I just want to paint this picture. Yeah. I was doing something nice.
Don't embarrass me.
I was excited to give you a couple of burritos, and I wanted to provide you with the option. And when I provided you with the option of ketchup, you turn to me, you go, hell no, man. Who do you think you are? You started chewing me out. You made me feel ridiculous. And I'm telling you right now, it was not the exact reaction I had expected from you. Okay, you know what? We need to end this because this poll's getting out of hand.
Don't you dare delete this. You let this thing stay.
Oh, I thought...
You let this thing breathe a little bit.
Wait a second. We are in ketchup on burrito paradise here in Utah.
Why is it ketchup on burrito paradise?
Because I just think this is the type of city and area that would put a lot of ketchup on a burrito.
I really hope that's not the case, because there's nothing good than some good salsa on a burrito or a taco. Nobody's putting ketchup. It makes me nauseous to even think about ketchup on my burrito.
Why? Ketchup complements anything.
Ketchup does not. No, it doesn't. It complements a burger or some fries.
Okay, hold on. So I like the California burrito. The California burrito, I did not get that. I got the bean and cheese, and I like the ketchup with the bean and cheese. But the California burrito has potatoes in it. It's got chunks of...
Why not put some ketchup? Let's put some ketchup on a steak. Let's do that.
Lloyd, don't...
Let's do that. How does that make you feel? Ketchup on a steak. Let's get a good ribeye. Get a medium rare.
Lloyd.
Smoke it on my Traeger.
You're being ridiculous.
Let's pull it off. Now let's sprinkle some ketchup.
You're being ridiculous.
How does that make you feel?
You're taking the argument to an extreme.
No, this is there's no extreme.
Yeah, there is. Because we're talking about a tortilla shell that goes well with ketchup. Potatoes in the California, even if it's just the bean and cheese.
Shame on you, by the way, for getting me looped into one of these food conversations. Scotty's not here and you get me looped into this. Really?
Well, we're gonna cancel
but
this poll here.
I'm telling you, try it. Would you like some ketchup on your steak, on your ribeye?
Stop. I'm not answering that.
What's that? Go to St. Elmo's and grab a steak and get it Oscar and say, hey, can I have some ketchup to put on my steak? My tomahawk? What do you say?
I don't appreciate what you're doing. You're taking this. This is not an argument about steak. This is an argument
I feel like these,
about burritos.
These two are very relevant together.
It is
it's
not.
It's the same exact thing.
It is not. It's a shell.
You feel insulted, right? You're upset.
I don't
about
like it. I don't like. I don't know if
if
I made the steak and you put ketchup on it, I would just be like, "What are you doing with the ketchup on the steak?" But understand, Lloyd, that murderers put ketchup on a steak. Good people put ketchup on burritos. Like, that's a common thing.
Okay, I'm just gonna say there's no correlation there, but whatever. What do I know?
I'm shocked by the results of this poll right now. Wow. People are DJ Bowlerjack.
He's obviously with the store. How about you go get a steak from the store and put some ketchup on it?
It's not about steak. Stop making it about steak. It's not about steak. It's about a burrito. DJ Bowlerjack just said that's insane. Oh, man. 200 votes in. I just put this thing out just now. 200 votes in. 80,
yeah, this isn't going to go well.
88% saying no. They will not eat ketchup on their burrito.
Let's see how.
Wow. Yeah, this is going
bad poll here.
It's going poorly quick. We'll move on. We'll come back to the poll, but I'm a little bit surprised that your reaction was as such, Lloyd. I thought you'd be a little bit more patient.
No, I appreciate the burrito. That's awesome. And just give me that salsa. I really appreciate it. But the fact
have
that
you
try to give me ketchup.
Have you ever tried ketchup?
Won't. No, because they don't belong.
I'm just shocked that you feel like they don't belong.
They're completely different, like, food groups. You don't put them together. What are you talking about?
It's mashed up tomatoes. I mean, you've got salsa. It's the same thing as salsa, but a little sweeter.
Stop. Just stop.
I'm just saying, don't knock it until you try it. We had a sound segment. We'll get back into this poll a little bit later. But we had a sound segment in the opener of today's show, and we're talking about George Kliavkov, the new commissioner of the Pac-12. And I mentioned that he made a couple of comments that you never heard from Larry Scott. Larry Scott was interesting. Now, Larry Scott refused, or at least in the time that I ever conversed with him, Larry Scott refused to address the fact that football is king. He would not say, look, everything else is a side note. Football is the most important. Basketball, men's basketball, is the second most important. Everything else will do good if we can get these two things to do good. If these two areas are the strongest areas of our conference, then every other athletic department will thrive. That's just the facts. And look, I'm a dad of three girls that are all women's volleyball players. My oldest daughter is headed to go play college volleyball coming up this next year. She's excited, and I'm thrilled. And I love women's sports. I love it. I've always loved it. In fact, I went in with the intention to find an athlete at BYU or at UVU or another athlete, a female athlete, because I felt like, you know, they shared my goals and shared my thoughts. So I found a wife that played college volleyball. So, and believe me, she benefited from college athletics. And so I understand the value of it for my daughters, and I understand the value of it for my wife. And believe me, I will be the biggest supporter. In fact, I don't know if there's anybody in the state in sports media right now that tweets more about women's sports. I'm tweeting about college volleyball. Like the Snow Badgers volleyball, women's volleyball team, was just in the national championship game a couple weeks ago. I'm tweeting about that. I'm watching and I'm following. And obviously, my daughter is going to play at Snow, so I'm really excited about that. But it's very meaningful to me. But even I know to step back and say, well, none of this is really possible or relevant unless these areas truly succeed. Not only succeed, but thrive. And that is the importance in the Pac-12. So for the first time in a long time, it was finally admitted by a Pac-12 conference commissioner that football is king. Here are George Kliatkov's top three priorities as he takes over.
I want to be very clear about my top three immediate priorities for the conference. First, we will protect and support our student athletes. Second, we will make decisions to optimize revenue for our member institutions, including renegotiating our media distribution deals. And third, we will do everything we can at the conference level to make our teams more competitive in revenue-generating sports, especially football.
That's it. Okay, so yes, I'm apprehensive. Yes, I'm not ready to jump on George Kliatkov's boat or onto his wagon and follow him to a championship. I'm not ready. I'm not there yet. But let me tell you, that last comment right there gave me a lot of confidence. A lot of confidence. So the Pac-12 commissioner was talking about some of his fundamental beliefs, what he's going to do as he steps into the role of Pac-12 commissioner. Well, first and foremost, he believes in college football playoff expansion and name, image, and likeness exception. Here's his thoughts.
That the Pac-12 is in favor of both the expansion of the college football playoffs to more teams and the implementation of consistent guidelines for name, image, and likeness. We think that both CFP expansion and NIL legislation are good for college sports fans, good for our student athletes, and can be a significant competitive advantage for the Pac-12.
Okay, it was that last comment that's really important. Right there at the back end. Did you hear him sneak it in there? He said, we believe that this is possibly really good for our conference. And so the question is, well, how is that good for your conference? Well, Dennis Dodd followed up with a really nice question. Basically, he asked him, well, how do you fix football? Because you're saying that that's what you want to do. So how do you fix football? Well, listen very closely, because you're going to hear the name, image, and likeness referred to again. And then I'm going to tell you how I believe this could be a major key to recruiting.
Listen, success in football is really important to the Pac-12, so I'm going to spend a few minutes going through this. I'll start by stating my deep belief that the Pac-12 can consistently compete and win for both football and men's basketball titles without jeopardizing our shared commitment to academic excellence or the well-being of the student athletes. My work on football will begin, as I mentioned, with meetings with the ADs and coaches and with my new colleagues at the conference office. I believe personally the solution to elevating Pac-12 football is a combination of addressing structural issues and a more focused approach on recruiting. So starting with the structural changes, as I mentioned in my prepared remarks, I'll be pushing to expand the college football playoffs. I believe that it's not good for college football and for the vast majority of college football fans when 20 of the 28 CFP bids, 71%, go to just four schools. Think about the fact that in almost any NCAA sport, an athlete has a 18 to 25% chance of participating in their sport's postseason every year. In football, that number is 3% because of the current structure. I take a lesson from this year's men's basketball tournament. Elite Eight teams included 6th-seed USC, 11th-seed UCLA, and 12th-seed Oregon State. We just need chances. Structurally, we also need to review and address non-conference and conference scheduling, game times, and any other competitive decisions made at the conference level. Everything is up for review to make us more competitive. I want to be clear about that. Finally, on structure, we're going to invest to create standardized technology at the conference level to share with the teams to help the schools recruit and be more competitive on the field. With respect to recruiting and being competitive in recruiting, I think there are lessons to be learned from public and private institutions that make their lifeblood on being able to retain and attract great talent. I think we have to learn some of these lessons, particularly perhaps from our Silicon Valley friends. We need to make sure that high school athletes understand the lifetime value of a Pac-12 education. We need to be more aggressive about teaching the legacy of the Pac-12 as the Conference of Champions. At the conference level, we will invest to give Pac-12 athletes, football players and others, an opportunity to create a bigger social platform. We believe video creation and other tools help the athletes. And once NIL comes into effect, that will help the athletes substantially. Finally, we will be a proponent of consistent and a fair approach to name, image, and likeness legislation. And we believe that's a competitive advantage for the Pac-12 because of the markets we play in and the opportunity that some athletes will have to start immediately.
Okay. Again, he's fitting the most important comments at the very back end of all of these sound bites, right there at the back end. Now, he talked about different areas that he can help with recruiting, but right there at the back end, he snuck something in and kind of tipped his hand just a little bit as to what one of his big plans is to boost recruiting right now in the Pac-12. And that is finding every way to take advantage of NIL, the name, image, and likeness. Now, I'm a former college football player, so I understand how difficult it is to play the game in front of 65, 66,000 fans, in front of different networks that pay that university millions of dollars, and I get a college scholarship. I get to go to class for free, and I get a degree. I appreciate those things, and please don't ever think I don't, because I do. I absolutely appreciate the degree that I was able to get from Brigham Young University. But there's a lot of money out there to be had from name, image, and likeness, from other people paying these athletes and being able to capitalize on building your name as an athlete. What George Kliakoff said right there was, I believe that we can set legislation to make your name as valuable as it can be and then get you as much money for your name as we possibly can when you come to the Pac-12. Now, I haven't heard that from the SEC or ACC. Now, I'm not always listening to their commissioners' press conferences. But as a former athlete and as a dad of a football player, in my mind, I think, okay, well, how much can you max that out? What kind of dollar and cents can you make of all this? If you can bring more value to a kid's name in the Pac-12, if you can get him more money based off of his name in the Pac-12, well, what does that simply lead to? Now, this is breaking it down to its most simple form, but it means you should be able to retain athletes in the West, and you should be able to woo athletes from the South and East and Midwest. I mean, that's the basics of it. If I can, and I went on all five recruiting trips, went to Nebraska, went to Oregon, came out to BYU on an unofficial, went to Washington State. So I kind of went all over the country for my recruiting trips. And when you sit in those offices at those recruiting trips, they tell you everything that you get to take advantage of. They break it all down for you. Well, look at our weight room. Look at our supplements. Look at this and this. And look at this. And they show you an amazing time, and you get a full idea of what you get to take advantage of as an athlete when you get to that university. It's really nice. Now, imagine on that recruiting trip when you're sitting in a Pac-12 office and they slide a sheet of paper across the table and they say, we've got 25 offensive linemen in our conference that are making $85,000 a year on their name, image, and likeness. Legally. Not against NCAA rules, but legally. And I'm looking at that number like, oh, 85 grand. All right, well, the Big Ten didn't slip anything like that in front of me. Or maybe the Big Ten tried to give me a handshake that was illegal. But I'm looking at the dollars and cents of things, and I'm like, man, I can make that right now? You're saying I can make that in the next 5 years under scholarship? So I guess I'm just trying to put another level of importance on what he's saying with the name, image, and likeness. So what does that take? Like you mentioned, it takes legislation. It takes time. It takes a formula. It takes understanding how far you can push the envelope and how much money you can get for these kids. And it's not just about football. Look, if I'm a fantastic women's volleyball player, let's say I'm one of the top five or top 10 women's volleyball players in my conference. Maybe my name, image, and likeness is worth something. Look, you could ask me every athlete that I was a fan of in my life going back to when I was 8 years old. Do you know there is one athlete that stands out more than any other? And I had posters of Mean Joe Green. Like I had a poster of Michael Jordan. Like you know those athletes. But the one athlete that stands out more to me than any other was Gabrielle Reese. It's Gabrielle Reese. So her name was worth a lot. And if the Pac-12 can market name, image, and likeness, maybe they can keep the best volleyball players as well as some of the best football players and say, hey, you come here and you perform, and we're going to get you X, Y, and Z based off of what we can do. We're gonna get you in Sports Illustrated. We're going to get you endorsing X, Y, and Z. And we're going to get you X amount of dollars. That's huge. Now, I'm not saying that the SEC and the Big Ten can't come in and look at George Kliakoff's formula and be like, got to do that. We got to adopt that. They can, and they probably will. What I'm hoping is he's advanced enough, and maybe he can push through legislation, and maybe he can adopt formulas to get that money in those athletes' pockets, because that is primary number one. Recruit better, win better. Retain athletes, win more. So if he can retain them by using the NIL, well, more power to him. We'll take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we're going to compare two resumes. We're going to let you be the judge. Based off these two resumes, who would you rather hire for Pac-12 commissioner? That's next.
This is DJ and PK.
And to think that as far as Joe, I'm largely responsible. I may not win any awards, Dave, but it gives me a sense of great pride knowing, yeah, I don't feed the naked, but in a sense, I've helped facilitate a connection. So I can feel good about it, you know, a little bit. Not quite like you, but I think I can feel good about it.
You're not feeding the hungry, but you are entertaining the bored. So there's that. There's somebody stuck in traffic, stressed, the weather's bad, you know.
So what do?
You entertain the bored.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
So the new Pac-12 commissioner, George Kliakoff, he gave his resume. And Lloyd and I, well, actually Lloyd thought of a little bit of a more spicy resume. We're going to start here. I'm going to play you a bit of George's resume. And then we'll address this kind of the spiced up resume. We'll see what you think's better.
First, from my days as a collegiate rower at Boston University, I've always loved everything about intercollegiate athletics. I credit much of my success in business and in life to lessons I learned as a rower in college, including the value of putting in the hard work, time management, accountability, and of course, teamwork. Second, I believe I have deep subject matter expertise in many areas that are immediate opportunities. I have a background in structuring complex media distribution deals, including an understanding of the ongoing transition from consumption of linear television models to digital. I have built and run large-scale live events, sponsorship, licensing, and ticket sales operations. And I have an understanding of lobbying and other efforts necessary to address some of the biggest opportunities and issues facing college athletics today, including name, image, and likeness, expansion of the CFP, and sports betting. Third, I've been fortunate to lead teams that have driven growth in both revenue and profits in every job I have held. Just quickly, here are a few highlights from my career. My first job in sports was as one of the senior executives in the early days of establishing Major League Baseball Advanced Media. At MLBAM, I managed corporate and business development and baseball's media subscription and licensing business across all digital platforms.
That's about all I can take. Look, I'm not one to suggest the way you deliver a resume, but this was a man who left a voicemail on a very prominent company's voicemail machine. And he didn't have time, so he just left the best resume he could.
Mike, my name is Tom, BS, MBA, patent inventor. I'm also a professional photographer and microphotographer at Institute. Look, I'm the best of the best. I'm about to come into big money. I mean, huge. But I have some temporary, maybe full, permanent, part-time working necessities. I don't need to make much. I don't live on much. I don't really like money. I mean, we all like money, but my phone number is 3. I'm very well educated and thought of. I'm incredibly smart. I'm a genius. people who study people like me think I might be one of the smartest people in the country. Anyhow, I have a lot of powerful friends, and they want me to enter the politics soon. But my point is I need to make, you know, 100 or 2 a week, and I'll do anything. I'll shovel, I'll analyze stock values. I can do anything and have. I have an education that would blow your arm off if you look at the resume, but my computer's down. And I'm just looking for some immediate part-time only. I can only make $1,000 a month, I believe it is. I'm on disability. I don't even look disabled. I'm terminally ill. I've been that way 6 years, 3 months to live. I don't look sick. Young women love me. And according to them, I'm hysterical and the smartest man they ever met. And I look good. That's a problem. Please give me a call. Again, my number is 533. It's a new number for me. It's my home number. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hired.
He's got an education that'll blow your arm off, but my computer's not working. But he can't fix his computer.
I look good. And that's a problem.
There's so much to unwrap there. Like, okay, he doesn't even like money. I mean, we all like money.
Oh, man, I don't even. But I'm about to come into a lot of
money. A lot of money. I've only got 3 months to live. So, I mean, I'll do whatever. I will shovel you know what.
I just wish that this was the new conference commissioner. Like, I would be so excited. Like, what is this guy up to? What has he got up his sleeve? He's got as much experience as the guy they just hired in the game of football. Maybe he's got something a little bit more innovative.
And ladies love him.
And the ladies love him. He's really good looking. And that's a problem.
Yeah, I'm going with him.
Which resume would you more likely be to hire if hearing that resume? Hey, I know having some fun with this thing, but I do want to make one point about this commissioner. Who he hires and puts around him is going to be the most important part of all this. You know, the guys that are actually out there doing the footwork. The guys that are actually out there working with these coaches and athletic directors and trying to build these game plans for each of these departments, to help each of these departments really attack and improve their programs. And with that being said,
you know, he real quick, Hans, I mean, the thing is, he said some things that we haven't heard that you don't hear in the Pac-12.
Oh, yeah.
Like, typically, we say you're not hearing them championing, you know, football and all these other sports. You're hearing people say, well, volleyball is really good. I know basketball is struggling a little bit. But guess what? Here's volleyball, or here's lacrosse or here's whatever. It's we're the conference of champions. That's all. That's what you hear. And you didn't. He made some comments that and said some things that you don't normally hear.
So the conference commissioner definitely has a role to play in all that, right, Lloyd? He does. He's got a role to play, and he has to say that. Like, for instance, if you went and looked at the athletic director at BYU, Tom Homo, if you go and look at his Twitter account right now, I bet you'd have to go back to the first parts of May to find a football tweet. Now, I know it's not football season right now, but even during football season, Tom Homo doesn't tweet a lot about football. He tweets about cross country. He tweets about everything else because he has to fill a role as an athletic director. He's got to show the volleyball team he loves them just as much, and he loves those athletes just as much as he loves the football team. And a conference commissioner has to do a bit of that. Like, they have to make it a point that hey, all of our entities are very important to us. But deep down inside, none of it succeeds. None of it exists unless your primary sports can dominate. And that's why this final comment from the new Pac-12 commissioner gives me a bit of hope. And I want to preface this with, Lloyd, you heard the question that this comment came from. This was a woman asking the new commissioner about women's basketball. It was the final question of the whole press conference, and it was a woman asking this commissioner about women's basketball. How can we make it better, more important, and bigger? And this is how he finishes up that question, or the answer to that question.
Again, want to be clear, we know where the bread is buttered. We're focused on the revenue score and women's basketball and football.
I think that you got.
I don't even know where that's even playing from.
Was he watching a Baylor game? I don't know. I'm not sure exactly where that was playing from, but maybe did you roll that in with the cut? Maybe it's in on top or underneath the cut. Do you have it? Should we try it again?
No, hold on. I got to figure out where this is playing.
You know what? I'll just give you the basics of it. He said, with all that being said, essentially, we understand where our bread is buttered. It is college football, and we've got to improve it. Thank you. All right, let's try it one more time.
Again, want to be clear, we know where the bread is buttered. We're focused on the revenue sports and winning in men's basketball and football.
That's it. That's it, man. So that gives me a bit of hope for the new Pac-12 commissioner. Yeah, I'm not fully on board with this hire. There's probably 20 hires out there that would have been a name I would have recognized, a man that has been working in the business, and a man that understands the football and basketball end of things more. He doesn't have to be a technician. I'm not saying he's got to step to a whiteboard and draw up plays. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying he's got to understand what makes the big boys function, how they hold on to talent, how they recruit talent, and how they are able to win. Because that winning is what is going to really give you leverage in contract negotiation with your networking. Comes down to that. So no, he's not the hire I would have called for, not the hire that I would have approved. But as you step back, you have to look at it and think, all right, he definitely knows where his bread is buttered. And that's important. We'll take a quick one. We'll come back to a little bit of jazz talk, take a look at the NBA, and much more coming up next.